All right. We are starting a brand new series this morning. I'm really excited about it. I hope you guys are too when you see what it is. It's called Is This the End? We're talking about end times. Woo! And I said that to a couple people like, does that mean we're doing Revelation? No, I already did that. If you want to check that out, go back. That happened last year around this time, which is crazy to think. No, this is actually going to be a deep dive of Matthew 24 and 25 and all related passages. And so if you have your Bible, you can go to Matthew 24 as I kind of set things up. By show of hands, how many people have seen the very first Jurassic Park movie? Jurassic Park. Oh, there we go. It was a much better response than we had in Redverse. I had kind of got some funny looks when I brought it up there, so thank you. It came out in 1993, which means I was 6 years old when it came out. I don't think I saw it when I was six. I trust that mom and dad waited till I was just a little bit older, but that was before Jesus, so anything is possible. If you haven't seen the movie, near the end, there is this scene where the power is knocked out of the park, and the main female protagonist, Ellie Sattler, is in the bunker, and she gets all the power turned on, and she leans against this wall and takes a sigh of relief. And all of a sudden, a raptor jumps out of the corner of the screen, and it is a shock moment. I remember, as a child, seeing that moment, my soul leaving my body. That was the most terrifying thing I had seen. It has been forever ingrained in my brain, that moment of that raptor lunging out of nowhere. Fast forward the clock, a couple decades, Abby is living at our house. Abby's my niece. She worked at the church here last year a little bit. I think it's been a year, yeah. She had a long list of movies she wanted to watch. She wanted to pursue a career in film. And the Jurassic Park movies were on the list. And of course, I love, keep your superhero movies. I love a good dinosaur movie. Give me Godzilla. Give me King Kong. Give me dinosaurs. I'm in. And of course, as a good uncle, I had all six of them at the time. So we're watching the first movie. It's been a while. I know this scene is coming up. This like shocking, earth-shattering scene is coming. But apparently it's been long enough, I forgot when exactly it happened. And sure enough, late at night, we're all kind of dozing, and that bloody raptor jumped out and scared me again. Fortunately, it scared all of us, so I got to cover it up, like, oh, it's no big deal. My point is that as we come into this conversation about end times, I have actual legitimate concerns in this realm. I believe that when the end comes and when Jesus returns, on one side, we're going to have a bunch of people who are completely caught off guard simply because they didn't know he was coming. Either they have rejected the gospel, they've had nothing to do with church, they have just had nothing to do with God's word, and so when the time comes, they will be caught completely unprepared, unaware that it was coming. I have concern about that. On the flip side, I have even more concern that I believe there are a large number of people in the church who are going to fall in that category, and this is more concerning because you've read the Bible. You've probably read Matthew 24, Luke 21, Luke or Mark 17. You've probably read all of these signs, and as we go through them, you've already heard them all, and yet knowing and believing are not the same thing. And so some, I believe, will be equally caught off guard when Jesus returns because they are simply not watching. They are simply, they have fallen asleep in the faith and are not prepared for this, the end to come. So my goal this morning is that by the end, I hope that you will wake up. I pray that by the end of this morning, you will see the facts and the evidence that what we look at this morning in Matthew 24 is not just something that is going to happen one day. It is actually unveiling right before our very eyes. And so I have taken the painstaking time to find the facts, to find the truth that what Jesus said was going to happen is not only happening today, but happening with great frequency, great intensity, and it's not one or two. Everything that he said would happen is happening right now. And so, church, it is time to realize that the time is not someday. It is someday very soon. It is imminent. It is time to wake up. So with that, you're going to be so encouraged this morning. I can just feel it already. Matthew 24, starting in verse 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple grounds, his disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings. But he responded, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." Later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" This little back and forth intro into what we're going to talk about would have absolutely caught the disciples off guard. Picture it. So we're talking about the second temple. Herod has built it. It would have been an amazing structure. Not Solomon amazing, but still quite impressive as a monument to who God is and as the place where his name would dwell. And the disciples are obviously caught in amazement of all that they're looking at. And Jesus' response to their amazement is, "Yeah, it's all going to get destroyed. Not one stone is going to be left where it is." Huh? We're talking about the place where the Jesus' Father's name, where the worship is happening. The disciples thought with Jesus' return, Jesus being here, that he was going to kick the Romans out. Now all of a sudden he's talking about the destruction of the temple. So no wonder when he is alone in the garden, they come up and be like, "So, can you give us a heads up? Like, what are the signs? How can we know that this is all going to happen?" And so Jesus dives in and he says this, starting in verse 4. Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many." Verse 11, "And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people." So the first sign, the first warning Jesus gives is increased false messiahs and false prophets. This is not new. Ever since Jesus, there have been many people claiming to be the Messiah. Many people claiming to be his reincarnate. The interesting thing is, throughout history, it was very localized. It may have been somebody in a town or a church who stood up and was able to convince a small group of people of this great title, but it didn't get very far-reaching until the turn of the 20th century. Now, all of a sudden, we have the capability of not only broadcasting the message, we have the ability to travel across the globe in record time. All of a sudden, these people went from localized religious fanatics to strong, charismatic, personality-driven movements that could spread across the globe in record time. And in the 20th century, we have had 8 very prominent people rise up and declare themselves as either the second coming of Christ or the reincarnation of Christ. There's one in the Philippines, started in 1950, claims to be the second coming, and has the ability to stop earthquakes. That's impressive, especially in the region where he finds himself. There's one in Australia, claimed to be the second coming of Christ. He was so prolific that I remember hearing about him on Canadian news. He's in Australia. And CTV or Global or whoever it was I was watching was talking about this guy. How many people saw that news report, went and looked into him, and then fell into the deception that he had? Most recently, there's a gentleman down in the U.S., southern U.S., in Puerto Rico, who claimed to be both Jesus Christ and the Antichrist simultaneously. I don't know how that one worked, but apparently he is quite persuasive because his followers would take tattoos of 666 as a sign of their devotion. He started in 1964, and his influence is still going. So we may laugh, but this is very real things happening, and people really are being deceived by these people. Now, we're all intelligent, and we would have recognized a false Messiah if they were to show themselves, but the bigger concern is the false prophets and the false teaching that has become so prevalent in this technology, social-driven culture that we find ourselves. The third apostolic movement, the prosperity gospel, these things have come through and they look genuine, they look legitimate, until the veil is pulled back and we realize the great deception that they actually are. And we're seeing it unfolding now with Hillsong and Bethel and their false prophets falling as the veil gets turned back, and these aren't actually the people they claim to be. And look, most concerning part about all of this, especially everything that's come out about Bethel Church recently, is so many people won't accept the evidence. They won't accept the accusations because they're so, quote-unquote, devoted to their church that they're like, no, it's all lies. It's not lies. There's evidence. There's witnesses. There's victims. It's overwhelming.
That's my church, and you're just bringing lies against it.
No, that's not true. But Jesus warned us. False messiahs and false prophets would emerge and deceive many. Deceive many beyond the ability to bring them back. So sign number one, false messiahs, false prophets. Number two, verse 6, and you'll hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. So sign number two, wars and rumors of wars. And this should come as no surprise. By the time we get to Genesis 6 in the story of creation, God looks down on earth, and what is the earth filled with before he floods it? Violence. What happens? Adam and Eve get kicked out of the garden, their first sons. What happens? Cain kills Abel. Violence is part of human history. So this one seemed like an odd one, like, yeah, okay, there's wars and rumors of wars. That's just reality of the human condition, it seems like. But no, what Jesus was talking about, in recent decades, it has gotten significantly worse. Right now, the average amount of armed conflict happening in the world right now is 150 separate locations where armed conflict is happening right now. Average, 150. And because average, the lowest that number has gotten in the last couple decades has never dropped below 100. 150 areas of the world in armed conflict. As a result of so much conflict, 300,000 people die every year as a result of the conflicts that are happening around the world. And then we attack on the rumors of wars. I don't know if everyone's heard of the doomsday clock, but with the emergence of the nuclear weapon, we kind of decided that we should maybe track how imminent a nuclear war may be, aka the doomsday clock. As of the beginning of 2026, that clock was set to 85 seconds to midnight, which means that nuclear war is imminent. And the reason that they've set it so close to midnight is because, A, all those nuclear ceasefires, all of those treaties that were signed all those years ago are starting to run out. And unless they are re-signed, nuclear war becomes all the more imminent. Add into the fact all the psychopaths who have their finger on the button and waiting for a reason to shoot a nuke at somebody. With AI now being integrated into weapons systems, the threat is at an... We thought Cold War was bad. It is so much worse, you guys. Weapons and AI. I think I saw that movie. I think it was called Skynet. There's something about robots. And I'll be back. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I may have to fact check on that one. Wars. Rumors of wars. Escalating. Getting worse. Number three, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. The next three signs I'm going to do out of order because the first two feed into the third one. So number three, earthquakes in many parts of the world.
Now, one of the criticisms of the sign is that because technology has advanced so much that we can detect seismic activity at a greater scale, so thus, of course, all those numbers are going to get up. We're not talking about the earthquake where it's like, I think that was something. We're talking about 7.0, 8.0, 9.0 building, tumbling, life-taking earthquakes. And since 1900, there have been 16 major earthquakes yearly, annually. And we're talking about lives being taken. 16 earth-shattering earthquakes have happened every year since the turn of the 20th century. That's a problem. Luke 21:11. Luke is also recording the events, or recording the signs as Jesus teaches them. He adds something. There will be great earthquakes, there will be famines and plagues in many lands. And there will be terrifying signs, things, and great miraculous signs from heaven. So number four, the increase of pandemics. Did you know that 5 of the 12 worst diseases to ever hit human history happened in the 20th century? And already in the 21st century, we've been hit by 2 pandemics. 7 of 12 have happened within the last 100 years. And they're happening with greater frequency. The last 4 happened within 15 years of each other. 15, we've hardly got over the first one, and we're getting hit with another one. They're happening more frequently. They're killing more people. And the problem is that when you take into effect, again, technology, and in this case, the ability to travel, the ability to trade all kinds of goods, especially animals. The reason pandemics have gotten to an all-time high is because of something called zoonotic transmission from animals to humans. And the reason that's happening more is because deforestation, urbanization, and wildlife trade. All of a sudden, a disease can travel across oceans because somebody could catch it, jump on a plane, and go home. It's not a matter of years that it gets transmitted globally. It's in a matter of hours. So pandemics are hitting faster, and they're hitting harder. Number 5, earthquakes, pandemics have led to increased famine. Now, this was one of those signs that the world was looking at saying, Jesus, this isn't actually one, it's actually getting better. And it's true. Up until recent decades, there was this move by many organizations and countries to help address the starvation and the malnutrition problem that is in the world. And then COVID-19 happened, and we closed the borders. And all of a sudden, all those helps and all those foreign aids had to stop. And by the time we get to 2026, malnutrition and starvation at our all-time highs in human history. 8.2% of the global population is undernourished. And the highest rates of malnutrition and starvation are found in high conflict zones or those affected by severe climate events, aka earthquakes. So earthquakes, pandemics, now people are starving at an alarmingly large rate. And Jesus said it was going to happen. Continuing on. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Number 6, increased persecution. In 2025, the persecution of the church hit its highest numbers in history. Over 380 million Christians face severe persecution on a daily basis because of their faith in Christ. To break it down, that is 1 in 7. 1 in 7 Christians face severe persecution because of their faith in Jesus. To break it down even further, in 2025, over 4,800 people died in the name of their faith, and over 224,000 were displaced from their homes. Persecution is at an all-time high, and it's only getting worse. Again, technology is not helping this. Last year, China cracked down on its governance of all religious activity. Any unauthorized Bible apps were not allowed to be downloaded within the country, and you were not allowed to live stream your Sunday service. Technology has forced many in the church to go underground, and China is just a sample of all of the countries and all the persecution we're seeing on a global scale. Persecution is at an all-time high. Number 7, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. I don't think I need to expand on the sin will be rampant. Can we just agree that there's a massive sin problem in the world and just move on from that one? Okay, thank you. If you don't agree with me, we'll discuss later, okay? But the love of many will grow cold. Recent stats suggest that loneliness, social isolation, and the collapse of interpersonal and institutional trust is at an all-time high. AKA, we don't trust our neighbors, and we don't trust the government or any other kind of institution to trust to tell us what to do. Currently, 1 in 6 people in the global population feel lonely. 1 in 6 feel lonely. And when we get into the poorer countries, the number rises to 1 in 4. On top of that, loneliness has actually been attributed to the death of 871,000 people globally every year. For those of you that like math, that's 100 people an hour die because of loneliness. The love of many will grow cold. And I know that we are kind of the exception in small town, but in many areas, we don't trust our neighbors. We don't trust the government. That's kind of general around the world. We don't trust people, and so we isolate. And we're coming out of a season where the government told us to isolate. The culture tells us that all the social interaction you need is through social media. And then we can't figure out why loneliness and isolation are at all-time highs. I wonder if they're connected. Anyways, along with loneliness, the increased sale and production of narcotics hit an all-time high in 2023. 3,700 tons of cocaine was produced in 2023 and distributed around the world. Cocaine, because we can't measure marijuana, it's illegal. Can't measure that one. Cocaine, one of the hardest narcotics the world has ever devised. 3,700 tons was produced and distributed in 2023. All right, who's encouraged after those 7 signs? We're feeling good, right, church? I got good news for you. Verse 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so all the nations will hear it, and then the end will come. The 8th sign Jesus gives us is the increase of global evangelization. According to Wycliffe Bible Translators and the Joshua Project, 99% of the world's languages have access to at least a portion of Scripture. 99%. To put that in perspective, as in 1990, there were 5,000 languages without any access to Scripture. As of today, there are only 544. 544 people groups do not have access to the Scripture. That's it. And with the advancement, again, of technology and AI and all of the helps we now have to help with the translation and the promulgation of the gospel, this number continuously and daily starts to get smaller and smaller, 99% of the way there. And I found it really interesting that the verse of the day on YouVersion was 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slow in accomplishing his plan, as some understand slowness, but he is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. In order for all to come to repentance, all need to hear, all need to know the word of God. Matthew 24, verse 8, all of this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Ladies, those of you that have children, when it comes time, the contractions get fewer and fewer and less intense the closer you get to the baby, right? Right? It gets easier as you get closer. Why are you all smiling? It's true. I got to observe. It gets more intense. They get closer together, right? That's the sign. They get more painful. It gets to the point where I just want this to end because they're intense and they're close. And that is what we are seeing. It's not that the church has not thought that Jesus' return was imminent. At different points throughout history, the church has believed that Christ was returning. The Apostle Paul believed that Jesus was going to return tomorrow. He lived every day with that reality. During the world wars, the church believed that it was imminent because it's not just rumors. There's just a whole one big war happening. But we're not talking about one or two signs. We're talking about all eight signs happening simultaneously with greater frequency and greater intensity. Let me add to what I've already said. When it comes to frequency, the average time between billion-dollar climate disasters has dropped from 82 days between a disaster in 1980 to less than 12 days in the 2020s. We went from a $1 billion disaster happening every 3 months, give or take, to now we're down to three a month. You think it's getting a little more frequent? When it comes to intensity, pandemics are happening more frequently, killing more people. Persecution is on the rise, and the doomsday clock is only getting closer to midnight. The intensity is starting to ramp up. And as I said, it's not just one or two. Everything that Jesus described is unfolding before our very eyes in very tangible and undeniable frequency and obviousness. And so the question I have for you this morning is, what do we do? Now that you know, we run and hide, right? We stockpile all the food we can and we go hide in our basements or bunkers if you got one. I know some of you got bunkers. Don't try to tell me otherwise. Right? That's what we're supposed to do. Jesus told us all this to scare us, right? No. Jesus didn't tell us to scare us. Instead, he told us to be aware. Luke 21, Jesus says this. But before all this occurs, there'll be a time of great persecution. You'll be dragged to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to what? Tell them about me. So don't worry. Don't worry. Some of you need to pull out your highlighter and underline that in your Bible. Don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you, for I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, will betray you. They will even kill some of you. And everyone will hate you because you are my followers, but not a hair of your head will perish. Standing firm, you will win your souls. Stand firm. Jesus doesn't say run and hide. He doesn't say head for the hills. He says, actually, this is your opportunity to go and to do what I told you to do. Go be disciples who make disciples. We just spent all February talking about this. And what you should be feeling is the urgency, the desperation. The time is short. The time is imminent. It is time to wake up and not just do what you've always done, but do the things that Jesus has called you to do. Go be disciples who make disciples, because the end is near and it is time to wake up. It is not to scare you. It is to make you aware. One of the things I've noticed as I've been reading is in the Old Testament, God told the people to be strong and courageous, to not be dismayed, for God is with you. After Jesus, the narrative changes to be alert, be watchful, be aware, Because I am with you. Why? Because Jesus' death and resurrection signaled the beginning of the end. And it wasn't a matter of if he comes back, it's when. And the end, the when, the end is much closer than you think. In fact, based on everything I've shared with you, I would say it is very imminent. So church, it is time to go and do what Jesus has called you to do. Let's pray. Father, Jesus, I thank you for the greatest spoiler in all of history, that you did not leave the end to chance. You didn't just leave it as a mystery, but you actually told us as your followers what was to come so we would be ready. And so God, stir in us the urgency, stir in us the desperation that you are coming back soon and we don't want our neighbors to miss it. God, thank you for the reminder this morning that your desire is that none shall perish, but all shall come to repentance. And may we be a part of that. May we be willing to share our faith, share our story, pray for our neighbors. God, stir in us not just a desire, but an urgency to get out and do what you've called us to do. Thank you, Jesus, for warning us. Thank you for making us aware. May your church be full of people who are aware, paying attention, and busy about our Master's work. In your precious name I pray, Jesus. Amen.